Thank you, Vita Zoe. We love y'all. Y'all can go ahead and have a seat. This morning we'll be in John's Gospel again. We'll be in John chapter number 1 as we are continuing on in this series that we started last week. And this series is entitled The Word and the Light, and it's Jesus revealed in John's Gospel. Today we'll continue on in John chapter number 1. And before we go any further, I just want to kind of get my heart settled and centered. So prayer is good for me in this moment. And will you join me in a word of prayer? Lord, I love you and I thank you for who you are. Lord, we do need you. We need you. This world needs you. This world, sometimes people are so deceived that they think they have you, but they have some alternative version of you, Lord. Lord, we are in John's Gospel, and Jesus said, if we've seen him, we've seen the Father. That means that if we've heard him, we've heard your voice. And so, God, I pray and I ask this. I pray that you would give us eyes and ears to truly see who you are as we examine the life of Christ, to truly hear your voice through that which Jesus says and that which he does. I pray and I ask these things in Christ's mighty resurrected name. Amen. So this series, what we're doing is we are framing up John's Gospel with these two questions. What do you hear and what do you see? See, John starts out his gospel and he says, in the beginning was the Word. And so he wants us to pay attention to what we're hearing, right? And then he says, in this Word, this is was the life of all men, and this life was the light to all people. And he's like, I want you to pay attention to what you see. And so we were framing up all of John's gospel with these questions, just these two simple questions. What do you hear? And what do you see? And today we're going to look at John's testimony, John the Baptist's testimony. So let's be clear about that. John the Baptist's testimony, we're going to look at it today, and we're going to ask these questions. What do you hear and what do you see? And I think what we're going to come out with is we're going to be able to see that there's something about this idea of a testimony that John the Baptist is giving, and then remembering that John's gospel is a testimony, and ultimately then that's going to be like, hey, that's what we're here to do. We're here to be testifying ourselves and what that might look like. So without further ado, let's pick up John Gospel. We read through verses 18 through verse 18 last week. We're going to pick up in verse 19, and we'll read the next nine verses this morning. It says, this is the, everybody say that word. I'm not doing this with y'all this morning, okay? All right. This is the what? Oh, that's so much better. All right. This is the testimony given by John, and this John is not the writer of the gospel. This John is John the Baptist, right? John the Baptizer. It says, this is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem. I want y'all to pay attention to something here. This is just a note, an instructive note. When you see Jews in John's gospel specifically, and maybe other gospels, but really in John's gospel, this means people who are specifically from Judah and Jerusalem, right? This is not just all Jewish people, not all the people who have, you know, the blood of Abraham in them. This is saying Jewish people, but Judean people, Jews from Jerusalem. So that's just an instructive note so you can know John's not just, people have read the Gospels and they walk away anti-Semitic. And John's not trying to get us to hate Jews, all right? He was one. He's not a self-loathing Jew himself. Like, John's not trying to get us to do that. He's telling us a story, and he's saying these people from this region and the Jewish people from Jerusalem or from Judah were called Jews because of the region that they came from. Judah, Jews, right? Everybody gather with that, all right? Just a note, so we'll keep going. All right, so John, this is his testimony that he gave whenever the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? And then John confessed, and he did not deny, but he confessed. How do you confess? What do you have to use? Your mouth, your words, right? So John said something, right? What do you see? What do you hear? John confessed, I am not the Messiah. I'm not the Christ. I'm not the anointed one. That word Messiah it could also be Christ. That's a Hebrew transliteration is Messiah. Christ is, that's the title for Jesus. Jesus the Christ. And it means the anointed one because kings were anointed. Remember, David was anointed by Samuel. And so he says, I am not the Messiah. I'm not the anointed one. And they asked him, what then are you? Are you Elijah? And he said, I'm not. Are you the prophet? And he said, no, I'm not. Any of those guys? Oh, hold on. My phone. Okay, here we go. Sorry. So they're asking him, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? And he said to them, and then they said to him again, who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. Right? We have to answer for coming to see you. People are seeing what you're doing. They're hearing what you're saying, and they're thinking that you might be Elijah. If you aren't familiar with this, there was a tradition because Elijah, his death's not recorded in Scripture. In fact, Elijah was taken up in a chariot, and he ascended into heaven, as it were. And there was a tradition that Elijah was going to be the one who came back and rescued God's people. Like he would be the anointed one. So whenever they ask, are you Elijah? They're saying, oh, Elijah, you're the one who came back. And they would have asked him this, we know from the other Gospels, because he kind of dressed like Elijah, right? He put on Elijah garments. And so there, are you Elijah? Are you the prophet? In Deuteronomy, Moses says, there's going to be a prophet like unto me who comes and delivers God's people. And so there, are you the prophet that Moses talked about, right? And he says, no, I'm not that. And then they said, who are you? Let us have an answer for who sent us. What do you say about yourself? So let's listen to our ears, right? Let's perk up our ears here. And he said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Just like we find in the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 40, whenever the Lord begins to speak words of comfort to his people who are in exile, he says, comfort ye my people. And he says, listen to the voice of the one out in the wilderness. And he's saying, prepare the way for the Lord. Make a straight path. I thought about this. Anybody who's a fan of Disney, and maybe you didn't grow up in the 90s, but you were well acquainted with this movie, Aladdin. Make way for Prince Ali, right? Yeah, y'all remember? And there's this procession, right? So this is this voice crying out is saying, I'm the one who's coming to prepare people. I'm the crier saying, hey, the king is coming, the king is coming, the king is coming. So John testifies that he's not Elijah, he's not the prophet, he's not the Messiah, he's the one preparing the way. He says, now, and then John gives us a little note. He says, now, the ones who had been sent, they were sent from the Pharisees. So now we know there were priests and Levites who were sent by the Pharisees to John to ask him who he was, and they asked him, they went further with their questioning, why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? Why are you doing something? What do you see with baptism, right? Here we hear his testimony, but we see you doing something. You're doing something. You're doing an activity. You're doing this very physical, visceral thing. You're leading people out to the Jordan, and you're baptizing them in the water. And he says, oh, I'm doing something that you can see. I baptize with water. But among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me, and I'm not even worthy to untie the strap of his sandal. One is standing among you whom you do not know, John says. And I did not put the whole rest of the verses in our slides. So I'm going to have to go to my text now. I'm so mad at myself. Asher, you could maybe add if you want to, but I'm not even going to ask you to do this, okay? So y'all just are going to have to use your ears now instead of your eyes, all right? So he says, they say, we see you doing this thing, which makes us say, you have some sort of authority. What are you doing? And John says, I know you see me doing something. but I'm actually here to prepare the way for somebody who's standing among you, somebody who you see, but you do not know, right? I'm going to really take the seeing and hearing thing to the nth degree, just so y'all know. I'm going to wear it out throughout this series, all right? So then he goes on, and the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Hear," or "look, it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one of whom I said, he comes after me, but he ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him." I knew of Jesus. I did not know that Jesus was the Messiah. I knew him, but listen. He said, "I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." The reason why I'm doing this whole baptism thing is so that the Messiah could be revealed. Why? How? Because I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I saw something, right? I saw the Spirit coming up from heaven like a dove, remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize, he spoke to me. He said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Y'all see the seeing and hearing going on here? Right? I came to baptize so that he could be revealed because a voice told me, "You're going to baptize people, and whomever you see the dove descend upon and remain, that's the one who's the Messiah. That's how you'll know who the Messiah is. That's how you'll be able to identify, look, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the earth." See, I heard this, and then I saw this. I'm telling you, I'm going to wear it out, all right? But so here's John's testimony of himself, right? John's testimony of himself. He said, "You hear what I'm saying?" And what's he saying? He said, "I'm preparing the way." You hear what I'm saying? I'm the voice of one preparing the way for the Messiah. You see what I'm doing? You see what I'm doing? See, I'm baptizing symbolically. I'm doing the symbolic baptism. So that's John's testimony of himself. Here's John's testimony of Jesus. He's the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You can see my baptism, but he's going to baptize you with something that you can't see. And how do I know this? I know this because I heard a voice saying, "Upon whom the dove descends." So John's testimony of himself is, you hear what I'm saying, you see what I'm doing, and this is all preparing the way for the one. John's testimony about Jesus is, he's the one, because a voice told me on whom the dove descends, and I'm telling you, I saw the dove descend upon him, so he's the one. So John is testifying here. And this is his testimony. And why does John the Beloved, who wrote the gospel, give us the testimony of John the Baptist? Well, because John's whole gospel is about being a testimony and testifying and attesting that Jesus of Nazareth, this man whom people knew historically, his whole gospel is to attest that Jesus is the Messiah. That if you've seen God, if you've seen Jesus, then you've seen the Father. If you've heard Jesus, then you've heard the voice of God. He is the clearest, most definitive revelation of God that we have. John said himself, John the Beloved said, John the Beloved said this. He said in chapter 1, verse 14, "We have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." We've seen his glory, and I'm telling you about it so that you can see his glory. I'm telling you about it so you can hear his voice. I'm telling you so that you can see that who Jesus is. And then John tells us about John the Baptist's testimony, because he wants us to hear that John is also testifying. I'm testifying, John the Beloved says the same testimony that John the Baptist had. I'm carrying on a tradition of attesting that Jesus is the Son of God. So that's what we see over here, and I want us to see and hear from this for ourselves. They were testifying, and now we are here to carry on the tradition of testifying. See, our lives are to be lived to attest that Jesus is the Son of God. And here's what I will say, is that if we're going to do that, this testimony is both what we say and what we do. You can't say something, say that you love people and you have mercy for people and you have compassion on people, and then choose people who don't deserve your love, your mercy, or your compassion. You can't say these things and put people out of bounds for receiving God's love, God's mercy, God's compassion, and be truly testifying of Jesus. We can't just talk about it. We have to be about it. And we live in a world where people love to show mercy and compassion on people, but they choose who they show mercy and compassion on. We live in a political environment right now where people are saying they don't deserve mercy and compassion. No, they don't deserve mercy and compassion. We have to break free of that system. And we have to be the kingdom people who follow Jesus and his way and his truth and his life. And if we're going to truly attest to Jesus, then what we say and what we do matters. I can't just tell people, hey, go tell people about Jesus today, but not those ones. What we say and what we do matters. And this morning, what I think about, given the last week, what we really need to pay attention to is what we say really does matter. So let's talk about this. Words really matter, we learned this last week, because a bullet came out of a gun, struck a man in his artery, and he died. And I know words matter because the words that he said mattered to people. Some people loved his words and some people despised his words. And there's people who said he has the right to say all the words that he wants and they want free speech, and then they blamed a whole other group of people because of the words that they called him. Oh, it's because of their divisive words that he was murdered. I'm not jumping on one side or the other. I'm saying the system created both of this. The system that we live in wants us to hate each other. It wants us to find somebody else who we can blame. It wants you to blame billionaires, or it wants you to blame the immigrant. It wants you to blame, you know, the conservative. It wants you to blame the liberal. I'm tired of being part of that system. And I'm telling you, we are so, so easily susceptible to getting swept up into that system, on one side or the other. You know, we're going to look at Jesus and we're going to see Jesus talk to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus is somebody who should see and hear, and Nicodemus doesn't seem to see and hear. And then he's going to talk to the Samaritan woman, and she's somebody that you wouldn't expect to see and hear, and she does see and hear, and she testifies. I think we should use that as a guide for our hearts of who do we not expect to see and hear, so we are not testifying and we're not showing them love. We don't expect them to see and hear. But this morning, I just think we live in a world right now where we found out last week that words really matter. What you say really has consequences. And so I thought about if we're going to really be people who are testifying of Jesus, then our words really have to matter. And James says that our words have to be united with what we believe in our heart. If I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and I believe that Jesus' love is impartial to everybody, I believe his mercy is extended to everybody, I believe his grace is for everybody, then I can't bless out of my mouth some and curse others. Here's what James says. He says, look, if we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Right? Anybody who's ever done any equestrian stuff, you know this. You know that you can guide a horse. A magnificent animal can be guided by like a little tiny bit in their mouth, right? But look, even at ships, they can be so large, but they're driven by these strong winds, but yet they're just guided by this little rudder on the back, right? They can kind of defy where the wind wants to take them with that rudder. He says, just like a bit and just like a rudder, so is the tongue. It's a small part of your body. It's a small member. Yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Y'all remember the wildfires that we've witnessed over these last several years? Last year there was a wildfire that started and it destroyed so many houses in California. And it started with a transformer, right? And just this little fire and thousands of acres are burned up. He says, don't just think about a small fire setting a forest ablaze. Think about your tongue. Your tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It can stain the whole body. It sets on fire the cycle of life, and is itself set on fire by hell. James has some strong verbiage here about the tongue. Your tongue has great capacity to do great destruction. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue. James is being a little hyperbolic here, but he's saying, get this, everybody knows that you can go tame elephants, but your tongue can get away from you. I want y'all to think about this. We don't just use our tongues to speak because we can do this, or we can do this. Our words are not just what we say, it's what we record, what we put out on social media. We have to be careful with our words. You know, this week I saw a lot of people putting out their statements, where they fell on the side of that whole situation, and I'm like, let's not be so quick to have to put out our statement. James tells us what wisdom does is let's be quick to listen, swift to hear, slow to respond, slow to speak, and slow to anger. That's good wisdom for us in the church. That's good wisdom for the body of Christ. We don't have to be the first one to put our stake on it. Why don't we sit down and we go, hey, Holy Spirit of God, what's going on here? God, I need you to inform me, God. I know how I feel about this. And I know what I want to say. And I know who I want to blame. But God, I need to hear your voice right now. I need not to be driven by the influencers. I need not to be driven by the pundits. I need not to be driven by my favorite pastor or my favorite athlete. I need to be driven by you, Holy God. And I trust that your voice speaks louder and clearer and truer than any other voice. So instead of me getting my cues from my favorite pundit or pastor or politician, let me get my cues from the Holy Spirit of God, because you promised that you will never leave me, you will never forsake me, you will always guide me, you will always direct me, you will speak clearly to me. You said, when people seek you, they will find you. So I'm looking to hear you. looking to see you. See, James says your tongue can be very destructive. It's hard to tame, and y'all found this to be true. You have found it to be true, husbands, whenever your wife says something and you know she just did a little dig on you, and you go, okay, I know I should not say something, I shouldn't, and then you say it back. And women, I know that y'all never have done that, but we men have, and we confess and we repent. You know, I just couldn't keep my mouth shut. No one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil. It's full of deadly poison. With it, and then he says, with it we bless the Lord and the Father, and with it we curse people made in the likeness of God. Did y'all see some cursing of people today, this last week? It's thems. Anytime you see that, let me just tell you pastorally, anytime you see it, you go, that's not the voice of God. Jesus himself came into this world, and in John 3, verses 17, which is not as famous as the verse that comes before it, he says, I came into this world not to condemn this world, not to curse this world, but to rescue it, to save this world. And he says of us, I'm going to put in you a spring of living water. So you go bless the Lord all you want, but you curse all those people. No, he does not mean that. If you see people blessing the Lord with one side of their mouth and they're cursing people on the other, that's not of God. I don't care I don't care what their profile says, how much it says, I'm a Christ follower, I'm a disciple of Jesus. It's not of God. It's not of God. It's not of God whenever I do it. I can't justify it and excuse it. It's not of God whenever I read somebody else do it. It's not of God if you do it. And who are these people? Democrats, Republicans, immigrants, straight, gay, promiscuous. No, these are not any of those titles. These are people who are made in the likeness of God. Who's not made in the likeness of God? So we can't come into church on Sunday morning and go, oh, hail the power of Jesus' name, and then walk out of here and go, oh, the scourge of our society is them. No, the world wants us to do that. And it's so... Let me just tell you, for your flesh, that weak part of your being, it's so delectable to hate people. That's why the tabloids are making millions. That's why the sharp tongue on social media has the most followers. Listen, I'm very boring on social media because what I would have to say, nobody wants to listen to. As evidenced this morning. I've had people say, well, you didn't say enough about the liberals, or you didn't say enough damaging things about the Republicans. Well, because I'm not part of that system. And I know I want to be swept up into that system, but I'm trying really hard to stay away from that system. So he says, we have this instrument that can do a great world of evil, and it's, you can't say that you're on the right side if you're blessing the Lord and you're cursing people. And you're forgetting that all people are made in the likeness of God. He says, from the same mouth comes blessing and a curse. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. This ought not to be so. I've got a river of life. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening, both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? no more can salt water yield fresh. Words really matter. What we say really matters. What people hear really matters. It really matters, period. But it really matters for those of us who said, my life is here to testify that Jesus of Nazareth is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My life is to testify that it's through Jesus, through following Jesus, that salvation comes. Your life gets transformed by following Jesus. Your life doesn't get transformed because you believe some things about Jesus. Your life gets transformed whenever your belief is how you walk, how you live, why what you say is what you do. And at this moment, the world wants you to say, whose side are you on? And your words really matter. And they really can attest to your faith. So my brothers and my sisters, the word and the light is not just what we read about Jesus. The word and the light is what Jesus calls us to be. The same one who says in John's gospel, I am the light of the world, says in Matthew's gospel, you are the light of the world. And so let people see what you do, your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So my brothers and my sisters, the call today is that we understand that our words matter because our words can testify and attest to the very word of God. And our actions matter because our actions can shine brightly in this world. And through the testimony of John and John, you and I believe. And guess what? Through your testimony, others can believe. It's weighty, isn't it? What a responsibility. But you can do it because you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? Let's do this. Pastor Josh, if you'll come and you'll play softly, let's just bow our heads and our hearts. And maybe there needs to be some repentance because of things that we've said about thems. Let's go to the Lord and just say, God, help me to be careful about what I say and what I do, because my life is a testimony of you. I'm going to pray over you. You spend some time in prayer, however the Lord is leading you. If you're here and you don't know what we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and we believe that there is no other rescue in this world. There's no government agency that's going to rescue us. There's no hedge fund that's going to rescue us. There's no accomplishment in life that's going to rescue you. But following the way of Jesus will rescue not only you, but it's going to be the rescue of this whole world. And if you need to trust in Jesus, and you want to talk about what that looks like, and you want to commit your life to following him, then you can come to me during this next moment, or we can talk after the service. But I would encourage you, if you have this desire to want to commit to following Jesus, that let's talk about it. But for all my brothers and my sisters who trust Jesus, you've been baptized in the Spirit, you know that God is your Father, go to him, and whatever the voice of God is speaking to you, talk to him about what he's talking to you about. If there needs to be confession or repentance, confess and repent. If you just need to receive the wisdom, say thank you for the wisdom. But let's talk to God about what God's talking to us about. Lord, I love you. I thank you for who you are, and I thank you for your word. I thank you for your voice, Father. I trust that we've heard your voice today. And what we've heard from you, I pray that we will talk to you about it. And we will apply it to our lives, Lord. We pray these things in Christ's name. Y'all spend the next few minutes with our Father. If you're still talking to God, don't let my prayer interrupt yours. Lord, it feels weighty this morning. The responsibility that we have to carry your light, to carry your word. And it is a weighty responsibility. But Lord, I'm encouraged by this and I trust this. I trust that even my failed words can be righted by your Spirit. So Lord, might we know that while we have the responsibility, as Paul says, we're merely planting and watering. You're the one who provides the increase. You're the one who produces the fruit, Lord. But God, let us never just take that for granted. Let us never just sit back and go, well, you know, I don't have to do it. The Holy Spirit does it, Lord. We have a responsibility. James said that there was a responsibility about we be careful what we say. And that we are very careful that we're not blessing you on Sunday morning and we're finding people to curse when we walk out of this place, Lord. That's the currency of this world. That's the speech of this world. It's not how the kingdom of heaven operates. And so, Lord, I pray and I ask that you would help us to be good citizens of your kingdom. God, we are in a nation that is so sharply divided. And it wants us to be on one side or the other, Lord. Might we stay out of the fray and truly be those who have mercy and compassion on all. And I know that that's going to cost us because people won't want you to be on no side. And so, Lord, I pray and ask that we would consider the cost and we would count the cost, Lord. God, I pray and I ask that you would be with us as we go from this place. Might we be what you've assured that we can be. Might we be a river of life where love and mercy and compassion and hope and joy are flowing from us because there's a world that needs that witness, that testimony. I pray these things in Christ's mighty resurrected name. Amen. My brothers and my sisters, I love y'all. You have it within you. The spring of water is within you. The flowing, abundant river of life is in you. Carry it and let it flow from you. This evening, we will be here at 5 o'clock for our teen discipleship. Y'all be in prayer for us as we walk with these teens. We'll be back on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. For our Bible study as we're going through Jeremiah. And so we invite you to join us. If you haven't joined us yet, you're missing out. That's all I'll say. And we want you to be there with us. On the 30th of this month, we'll have our ladies and our men separate. If you only want to come to the men's and women's Bible study, I won't be offended by that, okay? We welcome you. Don't say, well, I don't go to the other Bible study, so I can't go to this one. We want you there, even if you're not there, every Tuesday night. So on the 30th, mark your calendars and plan to be there for the women's Bible study and plan to be there for the men's Bible study. And I think that's the announcements that I have at this point. What I want us to know is this, is you are well-loved, and you are not uniquely well-loved. God loves every last person in this world. Let's go make sure that everybody knows it. And my word of benediction this morning would be this.